Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Welcome. Welcome. Great to have you with us online and all of the family at the Mill Creek campus. And one of our favorites is in the house, one of our board members here at Christian Faith and the president of Global Christian Relief, David Curry. Dr. David Curry is here. Let me tell you about some of the official things in David's life. He is the president and CEO of Global Christian Relief, an international ministry which supports and strengthens persecuted Christians in 60 of the most dangerous countries in the world. His work takes him around the world as he seeks to encourage those living under severe persecution. He's been on CNN, Fox News, Christian Broadcasting Network. Wow, you're like an important person, Dave, and we're happy to have you here at Christian Faith.
Let me humble myself here. I went to Mount Tahoma High School.
Tacoma!
I'm from South Tacoma, so I mean, we're just among family here, I think.
Yeah, family. We were actually neighbors growing up. You know, David's from South Tacoma. I'm from Spanaway. Remember when Jesus came out of Nazareth and they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Hey, look at us. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about, you worked at Tacoma Rescue Mission. You led the mission for a season, and then you got to Open Doors, Global Christian Relief. That's quite a journey from South Tacoma.
Yeah, you know, it's a God story. Would you like to hear it? I just dearly loved the rescue mission in Tacoma and was doing that for, I think, 9-10 years. And one day I really felt impressed that God was stirring my heart for the nations and for what God was doing. And I've had what I would call a burden or impression, almost like a prophetic sense. I'm not saying that I have a prophetic gift, but like I was pregnant with an idea, something, some kind of a burden. That what was happening to the church around the world in persecution, and I'd seen it firsthand in various ways, was going to grow. And so I just had this burden. And one day I said to my brother, I said, I don't know what God is doing, but he's stirring my heart for something. Would you just keep your head, your head out there and see if you hear of any ministries that are looking for a leader? One day he came up to me and he said, have you heard of Open Doors? And I said, no, I don't think I have. He said, well, have you heard of Brother Andrew? Now, Brother Andrew was a Dutchman who back 70 or so years ago began smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. And I knew the story because he had written a book called God's Smuggler. And I said, yeah, I do. I know, I remember Brother Andrew. He says, well, Open Doors is Brother Andrew. They smuggling Bibles and supporting the persecuted church in all the most difficult areas. And I promise you, Casey, I literally snapped my fingers. I said, that's it. It was like a burden. Wow. It was laid on me. I knew God was calling me to help the persecuted church. Cool. Now, here's the thing I want to share with you this morning, is that I've come to believe that what God did in that moment to me, he's trying to stir the church in America for what's happening, because there's a coming storm of intolerance towards faith. You can see it everywhere. You can see it in the news. You can see it in every social media platform. And this is not to complain. This is not to scare you, but just to say, we've got to wake up to what's happening, to both support the persecuted church where it is, but also to learn the lessons of the persecuted church. Because the persecuted church, and by that I mean the church in North Korea, It's dominated by a dictator. The church in Nigeria, where there's Islamic extremists killing 10 or 12 Christians every single day of the year, that church is learning something you're going to need to know. Because you're going to have your dark moment. You're going to have your issue where the world is coming against you if you're standing strong in the faith, and you're going to need to know. So there's got to be this connection. And I believe it's going to come on people like it came on me, which is like, that's it. God's going to teach me something. God's leading me somewhere. But that's kind of the path. It was there was a spiritual moment there where I knew I was supposed to help the persecuted church. And I've been there over 10 years now working with this group, and I love every second of it.
Awesome. We're glad you're there, Dave. And what can we learn from the persecuted church? We'll talk more about that. Interesting footnote here, family. Wendy's mother loved Brother Andrew. And so she supported him. And when Wendy and I were in Bible school, Brother Andrew would come to our church and speak about the mission of taking Bibles to persecuted Christians. So little did we know back then, 45, 50 years ago, that we would be connected with Global Christian Relief and you would be leading that ministry. And now Brother Andrew's in heaven, but there's more Bible smuggling going on than ever before. So now let me ask you this, church. Who is in a worse position? The Christian in, let's just pick a nation, Pakistan, North Korea, who can't go to church because it's illegal, who can't get a Bible, can't buy a Bible because there's none available in their country, and every day just wishes they could worship and read the Bible. Or the Christian in Seattle, Tacoma, who has 5 Bibles but doesn't read them, and a church all around them but doesn't have time to go because, you know, they got soccer and football games and skiing and summer's coming. I need a tan on Sunday. Who's in the worst position, the persecuted Christian or the lukewarm Christian? This is what Dave's saying. We can learn, right? We can learn and we can get better as we help and as we serve our brothers and sisters around the world. So here's our scripture, guys. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who go before you. You know, some of us are struggling with anxiety and depression and worry, and yet Jesus said, when you're under persecution, you can rejoice and you can be glad because you're walking with God and you're serving God and the blessing of God is on your life. So maybe there's much that we can learn and some things that we can change in our way of thinking. Dave, is it possible that persecution could make us better and make the church better? I mean, I know it's bad, but it seems like when the pressure comes, our faith gets stronger.
There's revival in some of the places where the persecution is the most intense. Right now, I think the fastest growing church in the world is a church you may have never heard of. It's called the Muslim Background Believer Church, the MBB Wow. Church. These are people who come out of Islam, who are exposed to the gospel, read the scripture, and it comes alive to them, and they decide to choose Jesus. That church is growing around the world. You don't hear a lot of talk about it. Come on. Because it's also one of the most persecuted churches. The church in China is growing enormously, probably be bigger than the American church here before too long. Over 100 million followers of Jesus in China. Intense persecution. In our lives, I think we've all experienced this in one level or another, where when everything's going well, we think we're sufficient. And then when things go wrong, you realize not only is your strength, is your wisdom, Is your knowledge insufficient? But you need God in a way you never thought you would. Sure. So the church can grow in persecution. Don't be discouraged. I think sometimes we don't want to know what's happening because we're afraid it'll depress us. And you know what? The news does depress us, because if you're just watching the nightly news, what you're getting is a download of anxiety. But when you care about the things God asks you to care for,
come on, Dave.
He asks you to care. He says, pray for those in chains for the name of Jesus in Hebrews, as if it were your own family, because it is. When you take on the things that God loves, you're going to gain strength from it. You're going to give wisdom, encouragement. So the church is growing under persecution. But what it's doing is, and this is one of the things we need to learn. Listen up now. The church grows when it has, it's rooted in the scripture. It has scripture and it's rooted in it. The enemy seems to want to attack the church. And I mean, it does not matter if you're talking about any place that's difficult to serve the Lord. North Korea is especially true. They're trying to cut you off from scripture. China, the Middle East, all of these places where extremists are trying to make sure. Why? Why does the devil not want you to read your Bible? Because he knows if you have your ideas and the world's ideas mixed in with a little bit of, you know, what you kind of sort of remember about the Bible, you will spin out of control and create your own crazy ideas. And in your weakness, you will be picked off. We need scripture. So this is one of the lessons. The other lesson is we need community. We need to be together. There are people who are dying to go to church today. Thank you for coming. But there are people who are dying to go to church. They would love to worship with somebody. And we just kind of come and go as we feel fit. There's a reason why the enemy doesn't want us together. It's because there's power in community. So yes, the church grows in persecution, and the way it does it is by staying rooted in scripture and by sticking together in community. This is the power of the body of Christ. It's really important.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, never forget it, church. The word and the fellowship. Come on. What is fellowship? It's when you remember you're not the only fellow in the ship. Dave, I know one of the things that Global Christian Relief does is you will use crises of natural things or wars or earthquakes, whatever it is, to bring in food, medical supplies, and then through that also bring in the word of God. So talk to us about that and what's happened recently in Syria and Turkey.
Well, Syria, northern Syria is a great example. Let me just give you 30 seconds of a backstory. When ISIS came in to Syria and northern Iraq, they split that country in half. They went right down the middle. There's a river that cuts right across it. And they went through there, and then they infiltrated the country. And the Christians who were right along that region either escaped to Damascus or a 50-yard border, a 50-mile border along Turkey's border. And this is where they could find safe harbor. So many, many, many Christians in the northern part of Syria along the Turkish border. Now, it was about 5 years ago that Turkey began to attack those churches and send militias and mercenaries in to attack the Church of Jesus in northern Syria. And we have had the most difficult time getting support to these folks, Bibles, training, all sorts of basic things as they're under pressure. And these militia groups are roaming looking for Christians. So one of the silver linings in all of this tragedy there, the earthquake, is that we have an opportunity now to go to the churches in northern Syria and get them Bibles, medicine, healthcare in the context of the earthquake to strengthen the church, but also to help the church to be the church. Because when the church is able to love their Muslim neighbors and others in the community, all of a sudden people are like, I understand. You're the hands and feet of Jesus, and it comes alive to them. So a little secret here, and don't tell anybody, but when this went down, the first person I called was this guy over here. And I said, do you think Christian faith would want to help Jesus' people in northern Syria. I practically hadn't finished the sentence before he committed you all to do it. So whether you knew it or not, you've been helping Jesus' people in northern Syria.
Hey.
Praise God.
That's good.
So thank you. Thank you. That's your missions program. And it's not some little pot that you put money into. This is a strategy to strengthen the church in the most difficult places. And it is so impactful. And together we have this network, nodes in a network. That's the system, the body of Christ. You're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. And you're part of that.
Yeah, that's great. Here's a little video showing some of the things that we were supporting there in Syria and Turkey.
On February 6th, two deadly earthquakes hit Turkey and Syria, killing tens of thousands and leaving so many people homeless. We're actually here in Turkey right now to meet with our partners to find out how best we can pray and support the needs here and help the church be the church.
Yani felaket bir şey.
Zaten ben çocuklara, çocuklar gelin deprem olur dediğim anda geldi. Ama diyor ki anne biz görüyoruz her şey düşüyor, kalkamıyoruz diyor.
They feel so hopeless. They think nobody knows anything about them. Pray for them to make them to create a new hope. Small move changes a whole life.
We're partnering with churches on the ground to help distribute aid to those who need it most.
And I pray to God that you would be with the people of Turkey, and I pray that you would guide them, and I pray that you would allow them to know they're not alone, and many people are praying with them, many people are supporting them. Thank you again for the brave, resilient faith of many of the believers here who are serving to help and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
I want to encourage you to stand with the people of Turkey, don't forget them, and to give generously to support them. Let's help the church be the church here in Turkey and be the light of Christ.
Every gift you give today will go towards emergency relief kits to help families survive.
Wow. You know, it's hard to imagine you're in a place where there's persecution and such destruction all around you, and then there's an earthquake or some other disaster, and wow. Well, we're glad you guys are out there going for it, Dave. And one of the things they're mentioning there is we can pray, right? So a lot of people say, I wish I could do more. Okay, we can pray. And that doesn't cost us, even though we do want to continue to support financially. But prayer, always the beginning of any move of God, right? Prayer starts the revival and keeps it going. So let's talk about prayer a little bit, Dave. And that would take us to the GCR app.
Brother Andrew has always said, prayer is the real battle. This is a spiritual realm here. There are practical things going on. But then there's the spirit realm, and you see it throughout Scripture. God is calling us to pray, to be connected in prayer, and it has great impact. And my heart is stirred that the American church needs to pray and remember and advocate for your brothers and sisters who are persecuted for the faith. So we started this prayer app, the GCR, Global Christian Relief Prayer App. There's a QR code there. And it's just prayer. We don't ask you for anything else. But it's more than just a kind of a view into what's going wrong. It's about connecting people. So we have this young woman, Demonia, I think is her name. It's on our prayer app. You can go check it out. She was kidnapped. She's a Christian in Upper Egypt to the south of Cairo. And so often Islamic extremists right now are kidnapping Christian women to both bring shame on the Christian community. They will either rape them or force them into a marriage with a jihadi soldier. And there were two women kidnapped this week. But just the first one here, let me talk about her for a moment. We work in connection with her husband, Wael. And so when you pray for her, you could write a message to them, and we'll deliver it to him. So it's a way for you to connect with people you would never meet and let him know, like, you're not alone. You're not alone. The devil is trying to isolate you, and he's isolating other believers around the world. And in your isolation and despair, your anxiety takes over and just runs and runs and runs. And if anybody could break into your world, give you one insight of hope, wouldn't you love it? And we can, are now in a way, we're through this app where you, as Christian Faith Center, but you as an individual can give hope to somebody who maybe has walked a road that you understand. Either they've been attacked or they're being forced out of their family because they've accepted Jesus. Anybody else been kicked out of your family because you're a follower of Jesus? Or that you've been separated from somebody you love because you had to stand up for what was right? You can speak into somebody's life. So it's really just about this connection, Casey. We've got to stay connected across all kinds of denominations. None of that matters. We can argue about that in heaven. This is about the people who are standing up and literally they're saying, I follow Jesus unto death. I'll go all the way. I'll go all the way. And you're saying, I'm with that person. I'm with them. I'll pray with you. I will walk with you. And so please take part in this. This is what we need. We need to see this. We need to interact with it. And the spirit realm is where this battle is being fought.
Yeah, it's easy, guys. Make sure you download it right now so you don't forget. You can also just go to the App Store, GCR Prayer app, or get that QR code going there. And then, you'll see reports. You'll see testimonies, Miriam's prayers while captive in the lion's den. That's one of the first testimonies, stories.
That's a powerful one. Miriam was held prisoner for a great deal of time, and she walks through how she prayed for her captors. Can you imagine? I mean, this is why it's so vibrant. It's just powerful.
Real Christian stuff.
Real Christian stuff.
Yeah.
In the tough times. When Jesus is all you've got and you find out he's enough, it's yep. Good. It's good.
Evangelist arrested for preaching to Muslims, right? Church was raided after presidential declaration. Some amazing stories here and things that we can be praying for. And I know I've received the notifications. We get updates pretty regular of things happening. So it's happening now around the world.
Answers to prayer requests, all of it. Yep.
Okay, GCR Prayer app, or just go to the QR code right there. Dave, one of the things you do is working with the State Department. So it's a bit of an official or political perspective to supporting the persecuted church. The official title is the United States Committee for International Religious Freedom. And you actually have a special clearance and like an ambassador passport or position with them. Talk to us about that. How does that help people around the world?
One of the things I'd love for you to do is to pray for me in this role, because there are 9 people who are appointed to give unvarnished truth feedback to the State Department, to the White House, and to Congress about religious freedom. And so I was appointed by the Speaker of the House, and I'm one of many people. There are people of different faiths, and we have all the information that the State Department or in other parts of the government get on what's happening in countries like India or Saudi Arabia or any of these countries, and then we examine it, we do interviews, we hold hearings on it, and then give honest feedback, because many times the State Department may be tempted to make a political arrangement and overlook the human rights in a particular place. But it's a place that's of great opportunity, but it's also very difficult in many ways as well. So I'd love for you all to pray for me in this way. But one of the things I would say is it's given me some insight into the ability of Christians to go across all Republican, Democrat, Independent. Right. We stand and speak truth, and it's timeless. And it may not always be popular, but I've served now 3 administrations, the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and the Biden administration now. And I could tell you that when you speak truth, regardless, not in a political sense, but you just tell them what you believe to be true or what you know to be true, God will give you an audience. And I think that's probably true in your life as well. So please do pray for me. And I think what you can see across the board in this realm is that there are governments that are trying to stop all. They don't want any ideology that challenges communism. So it wouldn't matter if you were a Muslim or if you were a Christian or a Jew. China is going to persecute you. They're going to monitor you because they don't. Their ideology, the kingdoms of this world, are strong, and they have a kind of power, but it's not eternal power, certainly. So that's part of that role, and it's great. Yeah. It's a great joy to serve.
Well, we're glad you're in there. We're glad you got some favor with our government and church. Did you hear what he said? He served when Obama was president, when Trump is president, when now Biden is president. So in other words, we're not about just creating some kind of new political party. We're here to affect the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God, right? We're not just Christian nationalists. We're trying to make a difference in every political group. And sometimes we as Christians can start thinking, if I could just get the right person elected, they're going to make the world better. Well, they may help in some areas, but it's Jesus that's going to make the world better. It's people getting born again. And at the end of the day, politicians are not about that. So we're gonna work with whoever's there and keep bringing the word of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, and hey, by the way, we want to reach every political party, whoever they are, in the Northwest, in the U.S., in the world. So, yeah, way to go. Thanks for being in there, Dave. And you are a wiser man than I am to be able to navigate the halls of government.
Well, it's beautiful to see how God speaks to everybody. If I could move out of politics just for a second, there are also transformations in other ideologies as well. There are Saul to Paul conversions that are happening around the world. Wow. Where we've seen ISIS members come to know Jesus, where you've seen members of Boko Haram come to know Jesus. And it's our perspective, and really started with Brother Andrew, that we have to preach the gospel to everybody. And oftentimes these extremists, I was one time talking to Brother Andrew. He had a strong relationship with Yasser Arafat, if that name rings a bell, wow, with the PLO, and who was, in my view at the time, a rascal, a terrorist, you know, a murderer. And I sort of in a judgmental sense asked Andrew, I said, how on earth would you be willing to sit across from him? He said, David, this man is passionate about God. He just doesn't know who he is yet.
Wow.
He says, we've got to take the gospel to the Yasser Arafats, to the people that you disagree with, vehemently disagree with. Jesus can transform lives. And we've seen this in every kind of crazy terrorist group you can imagine. There are people who come to know Jesus, have these Saul to Paul conversions. And it's an issue of prayer. We can't just give up on the world. I sometimes will ask people, have you given up on what God's doing in the Middle East? No, we've not given up on that. Have you given up on what Jesus is doing in the Islamic world? No. What about North Korea? When you pose it in that way, you realize in a lot of ways we sort of act as if we've given up. But God is moving in the halls of Congress, in the White House, in the craziest of places. It's fun to see what the Lord's doing.
That's awesome. Matthew 14, this gospel shall be preached in all the nations. Then the end shall come. So let's don't give up on anybody. And by the way, have you given up on your neighbor and your coworker and your family member? You kind of figured, oh, they'll never come to church. They'll never get saved. I mean, if we're going to talk about reaching people in all nations, we might as well talk about your family, right? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there. Yeah, let's don't give up. Dave, you know, we think about the global issues and the national issues, but really it's just getting that one person, isn't it? And I keep asking our church family, start that life group, invite your neighbor, invite your coworker. If we can get one or two, we can change the world.
Everything. It's people to people. Just connecting with individuals and telling your story, telling the Lord what he's done for you. And I think that's what it's all about. If you lift the name, everywhere we lift up the name of Jesus, everywhere, North Korea, everywhere you lift up the name of Jesus, just mention his name and things happen.
That's awesome.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a believer in Saudi Arabia recently, one of our contacts there, and just finding out what the Lord is doing. You know, there are groups of people, small groups. They're not huge, but there are 10, groups of 10 people who would meet together in Riyadh, in Jeddah, in Saudi Arabia. Would you be part of that group? Is it okay if just one believer comes to know Jesus at a time? Of course it is. Of course it is. We celebrate it.
Sure.
And there was a man who called me not too long ago from, I think he was from Riyadh, but he called and said, you know, I come from a Muslim family. If they find out, I'll be killed that I've come to know Jesus. Would you please connect me with a small group? Just one. Just one. I mean, that was so powerful. I just could cry thinking about it right now because his whole life has changed. So much about one, the one person, person to person, is connecting and loving Jesus.
So when Brother Andrew used to tell the story back in the 70s, he was taking literal what we know as a paper-bound Bible and stashing them in suitcases and everywhere he could and driving them
right
through border crossings and praying that the guards would, you know, not see it or whatever. So nowadays, I'm sure we can't do that. We're doing something different. But give us some practical insight as much as you can. I know
sure.
There's many things you're not going to talk about, but
yeah, let me give you a little bit of insight as to how we did it, and it'll help you understand, you know, what's going on now. And I will, before I even get into the story, I will just say this: I think God wants to use your particular gift. There are bankers, there are programmers, there are business people, there are people of agriculture who are called into these places where the gospel cannot go. An evangelist could never get in there, but they're starving to death and they need somebody to help them understand or grow things in their soil. And Jesus people can go and to do. And Andrew started driving things across the border. And in particular, we had a shipping company that used to take refrigerators and appliances into the behind the Iron Curtain into the Soviet Union. And so we'd pack the walls and the floors with Bibles. And so you can literally say that the greatest Bible smuggler of all time into the Soviet Union was a truck driver who was just delivering refrigerators. It wasn't Brother Andrew. His name was Kor, and he lives here in the Northwest now. But he was the greatest Bible smuggler of that era.
Wow.
Still alive, still lives here in this area. And So your gift, I think God is stirring and deputizing ordinary followers to be part of the mission. And it could be programming. We're doing stuff to try to get the gospel. We have a believer here who's part of the board of a group that's bringing television into Pakistan in a new way and training YouTube creators. I mean, it's gonna have a massive impact on Pakistan, where the gospel, you know, is grandfathered in some ways, but in other ways is greatly opposed. And so there's so many things: YouTube creation and music and all. God's doing really cool stuff everywhere, but it's ordinary people using their gift. And we are still doing, Casey, some of the same stuff we used to do back in the Cold War days, where you break a Bible up and, like almost like a James Bond sort of a thing, where you have a cold drop of a Bible. Somebody goes, they pick it up. Sometimes they bury it. You go dig it up. That's how dangerous that book is.
Jeez.
And how precious it is. So some of that's still happening in various places around the world.
Amazing.
Where if you're caught with a Bible, you could lose your life in some places. You certainly could go to jail.
So if you couldn't get the whole Bible, you know, because it's just too much, if you could only have one page, which one would you choose? Okay, church, so here's an idea. Let's pick the one page. If we lived in North Korea and Dave could get one page of the Bible to us, which page would you pick? So you decide for you and then memorize that page. Because maybe the best thing you could do for your Christian friend is give them a page from the Bible. Because you don't need it. You've memorized it. Now, I know you're not going to do it, but what if you did? What if we cared that much about the Word of God where we started really knowing it, really reading it, really memorizing our Bible?
And that is literally happening in North Korea, where we have to break the Bible into pieces. And they go and they learn and they read it over and over until they know it, until they memorize it, and then we pass it on to another believer. That's happening. So it would be an interesting exercise for you to try that. And I had believers in the West who have, knowing that persecuted believers will go bury their Bible in the backyard so that they're not caught with it, and then every day they go, they dig it up and they read it, that they've doing that in the West as a discipline to give you an idea, to put yourselves in the feet and in the shoes of a persecuted believer. These are powerful exercises. It'll make you treasure your Bible.
Come on.
It's powerful stuff.
I'm going to start burying my Bible so no crazy liberal can come and get it. I'm going to cherish the Word of God. Well, amazing things happening around the world, Dave. And before we go today, I want to pray because many of our church family had or has family in nations right now where they're not free to worship. One of our grandfathers of a family here in the church was put in jail 11 times for having a Bible study. Right. And isn't it interesting, the way that the government knew they had a Bible study is because of neighbors reporting them. Who would do that? Who would report you for not wearing your mask? I mean, for having a Bible study. The world will go crazy that fast unless you have a real relationship with the Lord. So if you were born not in the United States, let's just stand. Let's just represent our nations around the world. If you were born outside of America, stand up. Mill Creek, stand up. Federal Way, stand up. Who here today, born outside of America, we're going to pray for our nations. Come on, lift your hands up toward heaven. Father, we pray today for the nations of the world. Yes. We pray that you give us the heathen for our inheritance. Give us men and women in every nation of this world to be born again, to be filled with your Spirit, to be saved and healed in their evil circumstances. We pray, God, that you are moving and that you are working. We pray for the families represented here, that you would bring salvation, bring deliverance, bring healing to our families. We pray for protection, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the work that you're doing through Global Christian Relief and others all over our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Dave, thank you for being here. Let's have hope, church. Let's have hope. Let's believe the revival is on even when we can't see it. Salvation is going even when we can't see it. The Lord is working even when we can't feel it. And people like Dave and all of his team, thousands of people working together, are making it happen. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.